In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Just before Jesus gave this parable of the prodigal son, he had been accused of paying more attention to the unrighteous and the sinners than he paid to the upstanding citizens, those who served the temple, and those who followed the law of Moses, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They saw him eating with sinners, going into their house, men like Zacchaeus, and they judged against him. How could this man be a holy man, a holy prophet, much less the Messiah? This parable, according to St. Cyril of Alexandria, the Bishop of Alexandria at the time of the Third Ecumenical Council, according to St. Cyril, this parable is addressed exactly to the good, decent, righteous, upstanding Pharisees that had condemned Jesus. He tells them this parable of the father who had two sons. The one son who was faithful and did all that was expected of him, and the other son who demanded his inheritance, the part that would fall to him at the time of his father's dividing his own property and all of his holdings between his sons. This young son wanted to have that inheritance immediately so that he could go and do with it as he pleased. And the father complied. And the young son went and he spent his inheritance in riotous living. He wasted his inheritance. St. Cyril has a way of looking at this parable that is different from the way that has commonly been preached. It may be because of the fact that Christianity in the Western world assumes that we are all damned and we are all more like the prodigal son. And so the focus is always on the prodigal son, the younger son. But St. Cyril says that the focus should be on the elder son. That the story of the prodigal young son is a lesson for the Pharisees, a lesson for decent and righteous people. As the Blessed Theophylact says, those who are righteous and decent have control of their choices and their actions. Whereas those who are fallen completely under the sway of passions, they no longer have control of their desires and their passions. The Pharisee is guilty of pride, and the older son is guilty of pride in the same kind of way. The older son is like the Pharisee. The younger son has not been faithful as the older son has been. But the older son, like the Pharisee that came to the temple, is filled with pride. A point here that we probably do miss in the 21st century as Western Christians, whether we're Orthodox or not, has to do with the fact that both the elder son and the younger son are loved by the Father, equally loved by God. The younger son is loved just as much as the elder son, and the elder son is loved just as much as the younger son. They are the same as sons in the Father's eyes. They are of the same nature. Their humanity is the same. Their true self is the same. The true self of the elder son and the true self of the younger son. They are both the same self. We have a disorientation in our modern way of thinking where we focus on ourselves as individual persons, as though being individual persons is the foundation. And whatever we are going to do, it has got to be built on the fact that I am who I am. But this is not a traditional way of understanding. The traditional way of understanding, and we're probably most familiar with having heard this in the following way, when we are told to love our neighbor as ourselves, it's oftentimes been pointed out to those who are Orthodox that the understanding there is that your neighbor is yourself. But we get all confused because we identify with our person as the fundamental foundation. And the fundamental foundation is not that. The fundamental foundation is our human nature, which we share. That is our true self. That is the self that is fallen. That is the self that Jesus Christ comes and redeems and lifts up. Our true self is hidden in Christ, because in Christ, the humanity that God created for us to live in and to be is fulfilled. And so there is our fallen self that we share. The older son and the younger son both share this fallen self. And Jesus Christ is calling all, the Pharisee and the publican, the older son and the younger son, to something higher than just being decent, just following the rules. One of the points that Archbishop Alexander made the past few days that Sharon and I went down to St. Mary of Egypt and we participated in the pastoral conference down there. And there was an excellent speaker. His name was Father and Igumen Chrysostomos. He came from the monastery on Mount Athos that is nearest to St. Paisios' Kelly. I got to visit there very briefly when we went to St. Paisios' Kelly. He came and he spoke to us 3 days down there. And just before his second and I think most wonderful presentation, Archbishop Alexander pointed out to us that we are not called to be slavish servants of Christ. That God wants us to be sons and daughters, like the sons in the parable, the elder son and the younger son. And Christ is leading the Pharisees and the elder son up to a higher level of spiritual life. The example of the prodigal son is an example of someone who went astray and returned, went from living a lower level of life and repented of that life, didn't just come and say that he was sorry, but returned to live the higher life of the home of the Father. It took humility. And so he left a lower way of life behind and stepped up to a higher life. That was not the same life that he had lived before he had gone, because he had learned the wisdom of the world and returned back. And returning to his Father's house, he returned not in the pride that he had before he left, but in a new humility, able to truly share the treasures of his Father's house. This is what Jesus hopes for the elder son. This is why the father in the parable implores the son to take joy in the fact that the younger son has returned, was dead and is now alive. But the elder son needs also to step up into a higher life. And if he could share the joy of the returning son who is stepping up to a higher level of spiritual life, then by his own humility, the elder son could step up along with the younger son who is returning and share the joy of the entire household. Christ has come in order to lift up our living of our humanity to a higher level, all of us. Pharisees, Sadducees, publicans, the sinners, and those who have followed the law. All of us are meant to be lifted up to a higher level. God has two basic kinds of sons, righteous and sinners. Sometimes we're a little of one and a little of the other, but in general, if we look at our lives and we can find that we're able to repent of the sins that we have committed and realize that we are not thoroughly and all righteous. We may be righteous outwardly, as the Pharisee who went to the temple was righteous outwardly. He kept all of the fasts. He gave to the poor.
He came regularly to the temple. He fulfilled all of the law. But like the elder son, he had pride. And so there was a step that he could take up into humility, the humility that is essential for us to share this new life in Christ. The publican and the younger son both took that step up into humility and were able to share the life of the Father through Jesus the Christ, who had come to raise our nature, our human nature that we have in common, up so that we are able to have that nature fulfilled. Christ fulfills that nature. We can share in the fulfillment if we acknowledge the fact that we all have the same human nature in common. It's not a race between us as persons, each one trying to accomplish themselves something on the basis and foundation of their own person in separation from all the others. That's a false understanding of the Christian faith. The fundamental thing is that we have in common one single human nature. Myself and yourself, they are the same self. Myself is not at the center of my person or personality. We all have the same self that is fallen. In Christ, that self, our humanity, is fulfilled. God created us as human beings. We have a nature that we share, but our true self is to be at one with God the Father through His Son and the Holy Spirit. As persons and personalities, we have our choices that we make, and we each live our lives according to whatever personality abilities we have. Those abilities are not abilities to change our human nature. We can't do that. Christ God came and did that because it was necessary to have it done. By the way of our individual qualities and characteristics of our personality, that's how we engage life. We engage life as whomever we happen to be, as persons, as personalities. But our goal is all the same. Our goal is to step up to this higher way of life that Christ God has come and made possible for us to live. Saint Cyril says that this parable is addressed not to the rebellious and the unrighteous. Why would they listen? It is addressed to those who are basically decent human beings, as all of us here are basically decent human beings. But like the Pharisee, we have pride in our decency and we condemn others. If we are going to step up to the higher way of life that is revealed in Christ, humility is essential. Father Alexander Schmemann used to say that Christ did not come into the world in order to enable people to be good. To be decent, he said, is the least that can be expected. The assumption is that we are good and decent, at least, but we are called to be holy. We are called to be like Christ. It's more than a matter of just being good and decent. And probably our Western understanding of things where we're all basically damned and we can't hope for participation in spiritual life, it has twisted and skewed our understanding of things. So that being a decent human being, it seems like we believe that's almost an impossibility. It's not. The pagans were decent human beings, or they would never have been able to hold things together and have great cities and great empires and write great moral works that we can read today that are at a level and a standard of morality and ethics that are far beyond that of our society, even though we like to claim that we are a Christian society. As Orthodox, we know that it means more to be a Christian than just to be good and decent. As the Pharisee is good and decent, there is a higher way of life than common decency that we are called to. The spiritual life and the effort that we are preparing to make is as much a catechesis for the elder brother as it is for the younger brother. Because the elder brother, does he truly love the Father? Or is he simply being obedient to a role, and then he considers himself righteous and better than the younger brother who returns? If his love for the father were true, then his love for the younger brother would be true, and he would rejoice for the return of the younger brother. Habitual sinners find confession easy. You just come, confess the same sins. There's a little booklet that I have that I read every once in a while. It's called Many Confess, But Few Repent. The younger brother repents, and the older brother is in as much need for repentance as the younger brother was. We are all in need of repentance. To turn away from our habitual sins, we have to aim higher than just doing personal battle with our own individual habitual sins, as though the goal were to overcome those habitual sins and be good, decent people. Good, decent people who realize that there is a higher way of life, they are ready to be Christians. Christ is calling out to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. We share a common humanity that he fulfills and makes available to us. We are called to be righteous in a new nature that has been purified of pride and arrogance, a nature that is filled with love, and live a life out of love, not simple obedience to rules, as though we were slaves and not sons and daughters. We can return inwardly as good and decent people to God the Father as our Father, by looking at the example of the prodigal son who lived a riotous and sinful life and returns and not just confesses but repents of the life that he has lived. And let us too repent of our pride and reach higher and beyond the overcoming of our habitual sins. And if we do that, if we reach out to Christ God and long for his holiness and his righteousness, then we will find that our habitual sins we will be able to deal with as we could not deal with them before, when we made that our goal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.